Thanks, Michelle. And our 15 to 20 year speaker is Rick D.
Rick D, addict alcoholic. I don't know why, but I was getting emotional, so I hate that. I remember it was new in recovery, Sunday night strength group, used to be at this treatment hospital, and brand new, and in walks this guy that when we were using, I mean, this other guy borrowed his Camaro and I guess to go get something, and I, you know, and we'd be right back. And it was 3 days later that we came back and sold all his CDs, you know, this and that. And we basically, you know, muscled him, talked to him. When he came back, he was angry. And he took it out on his girlfriend, you know, and whatever, right? And I didn't think twice about it. Tall, skinny little guy. And I'm in recovery, and he walked in the rooms, right? And he came in late. And I seen him, you know, and I go, what's he doing here? And I'm sitting next to my sponsor, and we break up in groups here, and he had the same number I had. And I was scared, right? And I told my sponsor, hey, you know, at break, I go, this guy got the same number. I told him a story about this guy. And he said, well, go to a different group. Let him have his own meeting, right? And I told him at the time, why am I feeling like this? Because I wasn't scared of him when I was using, right? And I told him, because I thought I was a tough guy, right? It was a mask I was wearing, because here I'm in recovery, and it wasn't that clean, but I told my sponsor, man, I hate the CA's turning me into a pussy, you know? And so when I get emotional, it brings back those thoughts, right? But the topic is what CA's done for me, right? And no, but seriously, you know, right before I got here, you know, I was in a real dark, lonely place, right? I was trying to kill myself, you know. I didn't have a solution. I just could not stop. I tried killing myself three times, three different ways, on the same day, you know. And because of you people in CA, you know, and giving me another chance at life, that was the worst day of my life. And ever since coming to recovery, all my days have been bright and brighter and brighter, you know, and I'm not alone anymore. But, you know, through the grace of God, I came here through the way of treatment, you know. I didn't go to jail or prison. I could have, but I didn't go to jail or prison. At one time, I was out there and I have a solution. I was gonna turn myself in. You know, my brother's a detective. I was gonna go to him and we'll walk into a precinct and tell him all these things that I'd done. And then I thought that wouldn't be enough time for me to stay clean, because I thought if I get locked up, I could get clean. So I added some things I knew other people done, you know, to get a bigger stretch. And I was gonna do that, but you know, on the way to the precinct, you know, I run into someone else and end up going on another mission, right? You know, crazy thought, I didn't have a solution. You know, that's what you guys gave me. That's what CA gave me, a way out, a solution to the way I was living. I didn't know anything when I got here. I came to treatment and said to go to meetings, right? So I went to meetings, and people were picking up 30-day chips, newcomer chips, 60-day chips, you know, yearly chips. And I thought, when that first guy picked up that 30-day chip, I thought, that's what I need. Some clean time. If I can get 30 days like that guy, I'd be okay. You know, that's all I need, because when I was out there, I couldn't put 5 minutes together, right? Like, if I can get 30 days, I'll be okay, and, you know, I don't have to go to meetings, and I can get, you know, do this thing on my own, whatever, and, you know. But the longer I stay here, and I'm glad, you know, a lot of people relapsed that came in with me, and I'm glad, you know, because that scared me, you know. Last time I used cocaine was July 25th, 1994, you know. It's not my sobriety date, because I almost had 90 days, I picked up again, but it was alcohol. And I'm glad I did, because I learned that I'm an alcoholic too, because when I started drinking, I didn't even finish my drink, and I was going insane. I was talking to myself, and I wanted to go use cocaine. I ended up at that Salvation Army meeting. Saved my life. I go to that meeting, I'm struggling, I don't know where to leave or share. And we broke up, and there's four other guys in this little table. And it came to me, and I broke down. I wasn't gonna share anything, I just broke down. I don't know what's going on. And they stayed extra, because they already had shared. They stayed extra for me, you know? And I didn't feel like using when I left that meeting, right? And I went to meet the next day, you know? Thank God for people like Quinn, you know? I was new, going my first holiday, you know? Had all these emotions. I went to my brother's house, they had this dinner thing, and they were being real careful of me. They didn't have no alcohol or wine or anything at this dinner because I was there, you know? But the kids were loving me unconditional, you know, because, you know, because our kids are, and I was overwhelmed, and I had to leave. And when I left that house, I felt like using. But I remember the Coca-Tans were going on. You know, we had a little office on Mitchell Street, and I get in, and the door's open, and nobody there. And when I was new, I used to think, like, well, I get God wants me to use, right? I go to a meeting that's no longer there, I think, well, I guess God wants me to use, right? You know, these just appointments. And I get to the meeting, I said, there's nobody here, you know? And then I'm finding somebody from the basement saying, hello, hello. They heard the door come in, and I said, hello. And it was Quinn, comes up, and he must have seen I was struggling. And he goes, you want to have a meeting? I go, yeah, I'm going to the basement. And it was just him and I. And for the first time, you know, another man allowed me to cry, you know, get all that bottled up stuff out, you know. And because when I was, before recovery, I would just use cover up stuff, right? Yeah, I would blame. I learned through my inventory too, I would blame. Because it's a lot easier to blame you than to look at my part in things, you know, the pain, you know. My wife thinks I used humor to cover up my feelings today or pain. I probably do, but I don't know that, but I don't care. I love humor. It's spiritual to me. It is, you know? Because when I got here, I couldn't tell you the last time I smiled or laughed. You know, that's how miserable it was. My first 6 months of recovery was up and down, but at 6 months, I told my sponsor that nothing's working for me. Nothing's working for me. You know, it's boring. CA is boring. And he said, that's because you're boring. You know? He said, what are you doing? Nothing. Well, get out there. Go to events. Go to more meetings. And, you know, we started working more of the steps. And I got high back in recovery just from working steps. You know? And I never looked back. You know? I don't know. What CA has done for me, you know, through the steps, I've changed. I'm not the same person I used to be. You know? I never looked this good. You know? When I got here, you know, I used to flirt with the women were pretty when I got here. Were pretty when I got here because the women I knew, you know. And I used to flirt and, you know, they used to look the other way, whatever, but sit next to them, they move, right? But, you know, and I'm just joking around, but I've changed, you know. In the beginning, I didn't know that, you know. Other people noticed that before I knew it. Because inside, I didn't feel it. On the outside, I might look at it in a mirror, but on the inside, I still had stuff, you know, that I haven't let go of and that I haven't dealt with. And at 6 months, my mother says, you know, she goes, Ricky, that's what she calls me. You still going to all them CA meetings? And she said it in Spanish, of course. And I said, yeah. She goes, well, I'm worried about you. And I'm going to meetings every day. And she goes, I go, why are you worried? And she says, because there's addictos there, addicts there. And I go, yeah, but I go, that's what I am. But there's addicts that don't use today, don't want to use today. We're seeking a solution how not to. And we're helping each other, right? So like a year goes by, and my mother says, Ricky, you still going to all them CA meetings? I go, yes, ma, I am. She goes, good. See? So anyway, I was here thinking, some people mentioned the children, man. When I was in treatment, my brother brought my son in. He was little at the time. And I was afraid to see him, you know. I put him to a lap because I had custody of him. And I was afraid to see him in treatment. And when he came in, he said, Dad, he said, don't leave. I want my dad back. Okay. While in treatment too, we had like a family session, And my daughter was there, and she was real young at the time, and the therapist said, do you think you know why your dad's in here in treatment? And my son and his other, my daughter's mother and her boy were there, and they didn't want to say nothing. And my little daughter said, right? Raising her hand, and she says, my dad's a crack addict. You know? And I knew her mother probably put her up to it, I don't know, but but she didn't live with me, you know, and when I was using, I hardly ever saw her, and she was young, and I put my kids through a lot of stuff, you know, and my kids are grown now today. I got my daughter when she was 14, and recently she wrote this long letter for Christmas. She wrote this long letter, and basically, she says that she's grown and gotten to realize, you know, what recovery's done for me, how tough it might have been in the beginning, and I was never a real good dad, whatever, and our relationship has now been left. And she, basically, she says how much she's proud of me and how much she loves me, right? I still have that letter today. And then just yesterday, where's Big Mike? From Florida. Got an opportunity to pick up a guy from the hotel, take him to a meeting. Go to this meeting, great meeting. And then I get this phone text, right? A phone text. It just had the phone number and it says, I love you. In capital letters, exclamation points, right? And I think, who the hell is this? You know, I don't know, you know? I thought it was maybe one of you girls or something. I don't know, you know? So after the meeting, I get to the car and I was curious. Well, at the meeting, I text back during the meeting, I said, who art thou that lovest me? I text back, you know. But then when I got out of the meeting, I called that number, and it was my wife's daughter, right? And I said, oh. She says, yeah, I you know, she had texted her two brothers and me. You just want to tell me she loves me. That was the nicest thing she ever said to me. I don't know about any of you, but when I was out there towards the end, I don't know anybody that could have loved me or even said love me. And the other point is that CA has done for me is I didn't have a relationship with God when I came here. I was agnostic. I didn't know at the time, but I learned that here. And I didn't know God cared for me. I believed there was a God for you guys, you know, whoever, but I didn't think it was for me. There's some situations that happened when I was young. And I learned that God does care about me. He's showing me through the steps. After I start working at that third step and on up, you know? And like a lot of you, I don't know my purpose in life. I don't know. I know God wants me to be happy, right? And what I've learned is one of the biggest things I learned, and it's spiritual to me. You know, my sponsor is Dave O, my new sponsor, and I'm looking really forward to working with him. Because he's one of the most humble men I know, you know? And I understand that. You know, there's Bill and there's Dr. Bob. I'm more like Dr. Bob kind, you know, and Bill. But what I learned the most is that it's really not about me. It's not. It's about you. It's about God. It's about my wife, my coworkers, the lady at the register, you know, the cab driver. My cat, my dog, you know? It's about that, how I can have a better relationship, be of service, make you smile, give of myself, right? I was telling a story last night about this neighbor I had. When her husband died in recovery, I went to the funeral, right? And she says, Rick, come here, introduce you to my friends, all a bunch of old people, you know? She said, this is Rick, my neighbor. He always comes over and checks on me. He's always doing this for me and take me to the doctor and this and that, right? He goes, he's such a lovely, wonderful person. I never met, you know, this and that. And listen, I don't know who she was talking about, right? But you know what happened was I left that funeral parlor and I went to sit in my car. And just like that, I couldn't start the car. I became overwhelmed. And the feeling was, and the thought was, I'm my neighbor, right? I never was a neighbor, you know? And nobody wanted to know my business, and all that, you know. Those little things, those are spiritual to me. CA has changed me where someone mentioned not wanting to use. You know, I don't struggle like that. You know? When I struggle, I don't worry about it. Things will get better. You know? I don't think about using anymore. You know? And that could be scary too, but I don't, you know, it's, I know there's a solution, you know? I've been here since October 11, 1994, clean and sober, you know? I know my home group is Sunday Night Strength, right? And I got a few others that I go to. But I don't know, I'm speaking a lot. If you're new, you know, and I struggled when I was new, and the best thing my sponsor ever told me when I called him and I was struggling, and he listened to me, the best thing he ever told me is, get to a meeting tonight. And I didn't know how that was going to help me until I got to that meeting. And after I left that meeting, I didn't feel like saying, I felt better. You know, that I passed.
Thanks, Rick. All right, and our 20 to 25 year speaker, yeah, Mike, there you are.
Wow, there's a lot of you out there. Hi, everybody. My name is Michael Frederick Joseph Crone. And I am an addict. My home group is the Razor's Edge. And I've been sober since March 9th of 1987. And one of the things that CA has given to me is being able to tell you all that, because it's okay for me to be me, right? I never had that before. What did CA give me? Let's see. You remember being broke, and then, I mean really broke, and then finding some money, and how cool that was, right? Double that. You remember like really, really, really wanting to go out with somebody, and then you finally get a hold of them and they say yes, right? Triple that. You remember driving home saying, God, just get me home. God, just get me home. God, just get me home. And you finally make it home and you feel all warm and great. Quintuple that. And just getting started. I was reading the promises before I came down here, and they're all true for me, every one of them, in so many different ways. And to really know what that means for me, you gotta know where I came from. I was sitting in my apartment when I ran out. And I mean, I ran out of drugs, of food, I ran out of money, I ran out of gasoline, I ran out of cigarettes, I ran out of dishes, I ran out of clothes. I ran out of friends, I ran out of everything. I was out. And I called up DePaul and they said, come on in, we'll interview you. Well, that to me meant they're gonna take me, right? So I called my mom and she says, she hung up on me, right? So I called her back and she hung up again. And I called her back and I said, don't hang up. So I told her I wanted to go into DePaul, and she came over and got me, and I had a little bit of rum and a bottle of Coke and a half a joint, and I smoked that on the way down to DePaul. And my mom said, you know you're an asshole, right? I said, yeah, I know. And I got into DePaul, and they said, we didn't expect you here, right? But there's a bed opening up in about 5 hours. And if you want to stay, we'll try to get to it. If you leave, then there's no chance. You got to just go through the whole process. But if you stay for 5 hours, we'll try to get you in. And I had my moment of clarity. I looked at the door and I knew if I walked out those doors, I was going to go to jail. I was facing 10 years in prison. I knew it. I had no idea what was ahead of me. I knew I could not stay sober by myself. I knew it. So I sat in those chairs for 5 hours. And I mean, like, I really had to pee. And I was afraid. I was absolutely horrified of getting up because I had to walk past the doors to get to the can, and I knew I wouldn't make it. So I sat there for 5 hours. And the bed opened up, and they took me in. And I made a deal with God. I said, God, I will do anything, 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 as long as you keep me out of jail. And I never told anybody about my deal. And I did whatever I was asked to do. I went to, ended up going to a halfway house. I went to a million meetings. And I read the big book, and I hated it, and I argued, and I, you know, just pissed people off just because I could. And my court date came up, and I was sentenced to 2 years in the House of Correction instead of prison. God kept his end of the bargain. I didn't see it that way. I relapsed. I went back out there. It wasn't a relapse. I went out. I poured myself a rum and Coke, and I drank that down, and I was sobered up to go to jail. And that was probably one of the wiser moments of my using career. That led to my sobriety date of March 9th, 1987. I woke up in M dorm, one of 35 guys in M dorm, and I've never felt so alone in my whole life. I went and called my sponsor, and I got honest. I told him what happened, and he said, "Welcome to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous," because that's where I was at the time. It was AA. I've since gone to, ever since then, I've been a CA baby. I started to go to CA meetings when I was in on work release, and as soon as I got out, I stayed in CA, and I figured out a couple of things. Well, time passed, right, and life had gotten good, and then about 17 years into this, I started to get complacent, and I started missing meetings, you know, and I wouldn't make as many as I did, and then it was okay to go 2 weeks without a meeting, and then three, and then once a month is good enough, and I started to get irritable, and I knew it, but it didn't matter, right, because I was okay now, and one of the guys I sponsored was going on vacation, and called me up, and he asked me to work with one of his guys, and I'm like, oh, I guess. Right. So the guy called me up, and I talked to him for a little while, and he wasn't in very good shape. And I said, well, why don't you go to 90 meetings in 90 days? And damned if he didn't do it. And he called me up about halfway into that, 45 days later. And we went and had dinner. And, you know, I'm looking at this guy, and he's a whole different man. And before, when I had first started talking to him, he was like on the verge of relapse, and now, you know, he's dressed, he's showing up for work, he's happy, you know, he's got a girlfriend, he's, you know, things are happening for him, you know, and I knew right away what I had to do, you know, so I went off and I ended up doing 180 meetings in 180 days, right? And I found out, going to all those meetings, that meetings themselves are not the most important thing, okay? There are people at those meetings, and they're the most important thing, right? Because there's this thing we got called the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous that's got our program in it, and in there it tells us that working with others is the defense against the next drink when everything else fails, right? Clean house, work with others. That is going to get us through. And there's one more thing that I got in this program. I figured out that everybody comes here to get, right? When you come here in the beginning, you have to get. You got nothing. I ran out. I was out of everything. I was out. Literally out of everything. So I had to get stuff. And everybody's got this basket, right, that they fill up with all the stuff that they get. You know, and they collect a little from the meetings and a little bit from from the big book and a little bit from these tapes and a little bit more from gossip and a little bit more from, you know, right? So not everything in this basket is good, but they got this basket and it fills up, right? And it gets heavy, right? And they end up carrying around this basket. Now, that's not a lot of fun, right? So some people end up setting down that basket. They just set it down and walk away. They end up going back out there. They come back maybe a few weeks, maybe a few months, maybe never. But they got an empty basket, and they're all happy and willing to learn again, filling up the basket, right? Somewhere along the line, one of the things for the lucky people that end up in the basket is a higher power, right? And that's what happened for me. And I learned that I need to take the stuff out of the basket and give it away, right? Because if I give away the stuff in my basket, and then I got an empty basket again, right? And if I give away the basket, I can get a bigger basket, right? If I give away everything I got, I get more, right? And that's really the secret for me, is that, you know, that, and that's all I got.
Thanks, Mike. And our last speaker, with 25 plus years, is Mr. Jim W.
If you would have went a little longer, Mike, I wouldn't have to speak. Thanks for being here. I'm Jim W. I'm an addict. Let's see what CA has done for me. CA. Came into my life at the perfect time. I was in desperate need. I had no job, no car, no insurance, and no place to live. And but there was a meeting, and because I didn't have insurance, I didn't have an option for in treatment. But there was a meeting down at St. Anthony's that I was directed to, and that was my first meeting, and that's where I actually got a few phone numbers that first night, and that was the start of my recovery. And it was a horrible night. There was actually about 20 people there, and I couldn't stand it. You know, I couldn't wait to get out of that room. Everyone was very nice, and I didn't appreciate that. So I did go back out. I went to that meeting, and then there was two other meetings. So I was able to go to three meetings a week, and that was enough to hold me together, because I was a broken individual, really. And that worked for me. And I did after about 5 weeks go back out, and then I was able to call that phone number, and they said, come on back. And that was April 1st, 1985. So it's been a while, and I don't remember a whole lot after that. But there was a lot of really young people in recovery, and they were full of energy. And CA was really quite young, and there was a lot of issues, and everyone, you know, everyone had all their personal stuff. And you threw that in a room full of smoke, because you could smoke back then, and it was pretty interesting enough to keep me coming back. It worked really well, and it really gave me a foundation, a place to go, a few friends, and a lot of support. And I think it was an energy thing. Everyone wanted to get better, and being part of that, it's like a magnet, and it's like a responsibility. Like, I need to go to that meeting because everyone else is going, you know. And so it made me feel like I was a part of something much bigger than myself. And It was a really wonderful time, a really great time, actually. Made a lot of friends, and CA did well. It flourished. You know, back then I don't know anyone who was doing crack cocaine. Everyone was snorting cocaine, you know, or shooting cocaine. It's different now. There was a lot of people in need. It was kind of the hip drug. I actually say I thought about this a little bit after you called Jennifer, and you know, I didn't really want to do this, but I don't usually look back very much, and I started thinking about it, and I thought, well, I should talk a little bit, just because in my life it's a great story, you know, and we all have great stories. Excuse me. Cocaine. Why I'm grateful I'm a cocaine addict. My life is very full now. It was very small then. You know, you become a very small person when you focus on one thing only. You know, how to get high, how to get cleaned up, how to get high, how to find money, how to steal, how to, you know, my focus was completely on cocaine, and that started just very randomly when I was 19. And it only lasted till I was 26, right around there. And I'm grateful for that, because if I was an alcoholic, and I believe I probably would be an alcoholic if I started drinking, no question, I would probably still be out there. And cocaine just kicked my ass. It devastated me. I mean, it took total control of my life, every thought, and I wouldn't be here today, I don't think, if it wasn't for that nasty, nasty fucking drug, you know. The other drugs or alcohol, it eats away at people, but it doesn't seem to me, and I have personal experiences, that they don't give up control as you know, they're not beaten down fast enough. It's always the last thing to go, you know. And I know a lot of people that have struggled with alcohol over the years. I had one story. I thought I had one story who kind of explained my life, and I don't know, I'll try to get it out. We had to go to a wedding, and family members, my brother is older than me, and so we had to go to this wedding, and I said to my wife, we're going to be late, been married for 25 years, my wife's in the car with me, and she says, don't worry about it, and my two kids are in the back, they're 22 and 19, they've never, you know, they've always seen me clean and sober, so anyway, we go to this wedding, and then we go to the bar afterwards, and my daughter's in the back, and she's talking to her friend on the phone, and you can hear her talking. She goes, yeah, we're just at the bar. Everyone is totally drunk, and now we're going to another bar, because that was the wedding plans. So, and it's, you know, my family, and we don't go to bars, so I'm spending time with, I'm number six of eight kids, large family, a lot of alcoholism, a lot of drug abuse, you know, a lot of devastation, but we're all still alive, you know, parents are gone, but the kids are all still alive. So we go to the second part of the wedding, and there's more drinking, and everyone is, now, you know, it's time to leave. And my kids are like, yeah, let's get out of here. We should have left 2 hours ago. But I like to spend a little time with my family because I grew up with them, and we have a connection, and it's always fun. But it always goes too far, you know. The part of the story is that I'm trying to get across is the people that got married, they're both alcoholics, and they're deep into their disease of alcoholism. And they were certainly happy, but the whole thing didn't end up happy, right? But those two people, you know, they're almost 60 and they're functioning. And they're out in society functioning. And they're well known and they do very well in society, but they're completely unhappy. And I'm not, probably because of cocaine. That's why I'm glad I was a cocaine addict early on and got into recovery. Because otherwise I think I would be in their shoes and be miserable. A lot of good things have happened to me. Like you said, all the promises. I'm supposed to thank a lot of people for me being here. Number one, Scott, Randy, Todd, Rick, Jim, Mike. I don't know if they're here, but I'm supposed to thank them. And my wife told me to make sure that I publicly thanked her. So I met her in '82 during the World Series. We had our ups and downs, but we're able to keep it together. I still go to meetings. I go during the day. I get up early, you know, like 5 o'clock, so I don't like going to meetings at night. But I go to meetings because they give me the strength that I need. And I love actually meetings in the middle of the day because I live a very full life and it just calms me right down in the middle of the day and I can go on with my day. I've been able to accomplish way beyond all my expectations of my life. And I want to thank Cocaine Anonymous for that and everybody in here. As I get older, I think my responsibility, you know, when I came in here I was broken. I'm not broken anymore. And my responsibility is to be a good member, but it's also to be a good functioning person out in our society, and we need that. And I'm glad to do that, and I do that every day, and I'm proud of that. And I couldn't do that without you people. One of my old employees called yesterday. I had to fire him twice, and he's in rehab again, and I haven't heard from him in years. But it was nice to hear from him, you know. And he said, well, you know, I'm looking to come back. And I said, well, you can't come back, but I, you know, you need to take care of yourself. You know, you need to step up and get better now. You know, he's got young kids. And so, you know, I have relationships with so many people that I'm grateful for. And I have a clear sense of what I want to do, coming from all the principles of this program. So I guess with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Jim.